This is Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. Ever wonder what drives people to do what they do? Join me as I connect with a variety of people who have great stories to tell about what inspires them, ignites their passions, and leads them to make a difference in their work and the people around them. I'm pleased to say that on this episode, I get to connect with Casey Bell. Now, for those of you who don't know who Casey is, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I know of Casey and kind of what I've read online before I welcome her. But let's just say that when you go to Casey's site, if you've not been there before, you're going to discover that she's very passionate about the work that she does. And she creates a lot of content to help people out, especially, well, educators who don't really have time to be searching all over the place for stuff. So let me get into it a bit and you can see what I'm talking about. So when I think of Casey, I immediately think of the massive amounts of resources that she's created around Google Apps for Education. I've never met her face to face, but I've interacted with her over social media several times, and she's always been very kind and helpful. My students and I recently benefited from a Halloween word activity that she created in the Google Drawing app. So the last time that I really got deep into something Casey had created, it was that. And my kids and I had a lot of fun working with that, what I would call a word study activity. And I've referred a lot of people to her site and to her Twitter account because she's constantly creating things and sharing it out with everybody out there in the world. Her website, which I'm going to talk about more in a minute or two, shakeuplearning.com, is a treasure chest full of wonderful resources. So that's basically, when I think of Casey, that's what I think of. And on the blog, you'll see the cartoon picture of Casey, which is ingrained in my mind. She's got the blonde hair and she looks like a character off the Jetsons. So that's kind of what I also think of when I think of Casey. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've read about her. She's an award-winning digital learning consultant. She's also a national speaker and a blogger with a passion for ed tech and learning. Casey offers professional learning experiences for all levels of educators. She does presentations, keynote speaking engagements, consulting. She's a Google certified innovator, a Google certified trainer, and an Amazon education thought leader. She's led a variety of digital learning workshops, including presentations at ISTE, FETC, TCEA, Google Summits, and iPad Palooza. She's the author of a book called The Teacher's Guide to Google Classroom, and she's the co-host of the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, which I hope we will get to talk about in a bit. And she's also received an award, a Digital Innovation in Learning Award, given by EdSurge and Digital Promise. Her website now, I'm going to go over to her website and blog, shakeuplearning.com. This is what I've read on the internet. So I told you my bit, but this is what I've seen out there. It provides teachers and educators with many digital learning resources, tech tips and tricks, class tech integration ideas, as well as in-depth e-courses and e-books. So I welcome Casey Bell to the podcast. Casey, welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow, I should travel around and let you introduce me everywhere I go. You made me sound pretty good there. thank you for having me on. Yeah.
Oh, no problem. For anybody who's familiar with your stuff. So for educators out there that use Google Apps for Education, or are just into like the whole Google realm, they'll know who you are because you are a major player in that field, in my opinion. I your tweets pop up everywhere. I get referred to your site when I do simple searches for things. So, you know, you're up there. And when I thought about asking you to talk on the podcast, I thought, I'm sure she's I was certain you'd say no even before I asked, which is horrible because I don't like to operate that way. And I just figured you'd be so busy with the fact that you've got your own podcast going. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot because I think your story is worth telling. So I'm really glad that you agreed to come on. And if you're willing to pay me my teacher salary that I get now, I'd be more than happy to travel with you and do your intro.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's very, very sweet of you to say. And I'm very blessed to do what I do. And I love what I do. And you know, I think we did have to work a little bit on the calendar to make this happen, but I'm very happy to oblige and to reach more teachers. And I think that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. And you were very open to participating. And yes, I mean, we did have to look at the calendar. I recall that you had gone on vacation, I think, right?
Yes, I was actually on vacation.
Where did you go?
I was in Hawaii.
Oh, and was that the first time you had been?
No, actually, I'm a big fan of Hawaii. I've been several times, so but it was my first trip to the Big Island. I was on the Big Island, so.
Right on. Well, I'm glad that you got to head out there, and it sounds like you had fun, and you seem rested now, so that's good.
Yes, it's the calm before the storm. That's how I look at it, before summer kicks up and everything gets really, really crazy, so.
Right. So tell us a little bit about your history with education, if you don't mind, Casey.
Sure. I am a former middle school language arts teacher. I say middle school survivor. teaching middle school is not for everybody, that's for sure. But I loved it, and I love the kids. And I started out as a teacher, as a classroom teacher. I quickly learned that I sort of had an affinity for wanting to use technology in my classroom, and that was a little bit rare at the time. And so other teachers would come to me for help. And, you know, I was like, well, you know what, I'm thinking about getting my master's, and I found this program in educational technology. I was like, this just seems like a perfect fit, and you can't really go wrong because technology's not going away. So I got my master's in ed tech and moved on into an instructional technologist position for a school district. And so everything just sort of grew from there. And so my job just became helping teachers learn how to use tech in their classroom. And that really just happened to be my niche. I really, really enjoy working with teachers and showing them how to do things and how tech can make your life easier too. So so I've been doing that now for a while. I work for the Region 10 Education Service Center in the Dallas, Texas area. And what that means is instead of serving a school district, I serve around 200 school districts in the Dallas area. So
wow.
That doesn't mean I get to visit each and every one of them, but so locally I do a lot of work as well as traveling and going to conferences and things like that across the country.
Wow. That's I think it's cool that you came into this work with the work that you were doing as a teacher, and your graduate education kind of led you down this path. Now, so tell me a little bit about your blog, shakeuplearning.com, or your site, I should say, because it's more than just a blog. There's the podcast is hooked in there, Google certifications, books, resources. Tell me, like, have you always been a blogger, or did that kind of grow as you were kind of getting into this like area of work?
It definitely began to grow. So officially, Shake Up Learning started in January of 2014. So
okay.
I was always teaching teachers about, hey, do you know what blogs are? Are you following bloggers? Have you ever tried blogging in your classroom? I was talking about it all the time, but all the examples that I was giving them were other people's examples. I'm like, here's what you should be doing, but I don't do it. So I decided I needed to really practice what I preach. I was like, I need to start a blog. I need to do this. And I really didn't think that I had anything different from what everybody else was doing. I didn't really think that it was going to turn into what it has become today and sort of flip my career on its head. But it really was a very powerful experience for me. And I talk a lot about the power of sharing your voice. And that's sort of what I learned from that experience. And you know, I'm like, hey, they actually like this stuff. What's up with this? So I was just pleasantly surprised. Like I said, I feel very, very blessed because I enjoy it and I have fun with it. I work too much, but that's okay because it's something that I'm passionate about. And I get to share and work with teachers across the globe. And, you know, I feel like teachers are really the ones in the trenches. They're the ones reaching the kids. And if I can do anything to make that better, to help us reach more students, to increase student learning and engagement, then that's my job. That's what I want to do.
That's awesome. And you are reaching a lot of people with the things that you're doing and the things that you're creating for us to use. I think it's so cool. Like when I talked about using the Halloween drawing that you created, I remember telling my kids that I found this online from someone that I'm kind of connected to on social media. And it was amazing to see their faces light up. Like, you know, the person who created this, because so often we're doing things or using things that there's no connection. Like they'll say to me, where'd you get this? And I'm like, oh, I found it online. And I really think if I adapted it this way, you'd really like it. And so I'm finding that, especially my class this year, when I make that connection, when I like model it for them and tell them, no, listen, this is a person that I've communicated back and forth with. This is what they've created. Let's use it for this purpose or for that purpose. It's really awesome for them to start seeing that I'm making connections. So I'm always telling them to make connections. I'm always helping them with their learning. But when they see how I'm learning and what's helping me, it's amazing because I'm really, I'm not only the talking the talk, but I'm also walking the walk. And I think that that helps me build relationship with my students, which then helps them and benefits them in terms of student achievement and how good they feel about what they're doing in the classroom. So it's really kind of neat to, if you work backwards and you see how the things you're doing and how it affects me, and then kind of the feedback loop and how it goes back to you, or how I will create something and share it out and then people will come back to me with it. It's really kind of neat. I don't have the same, like, I don't have, you know, the sight that you have, and I don't create how you create, but it's pretty cool to see that you're just like us. Like, you were a middle school teacher and you got into something that you enjoyed that helped kids, and you've just kept going with it. And now it's really rolling along, and I'm really happy for you that that's the situation. You mentioned something about talking about sharing your voice, and that it makes me, like, I wondered whether, is that like a big keynote topic that that you have under your belt?
Well, I did an ISTE Ignite a couple of years ago on the topic of sharing your voice, which, you know, that's what, like the 5 minute. So, so I did the Ignite speech at ISTE, which I will tell you is one of the most terrifying experiences. Not just speaking at ISTE, but doing an Ignite. I'd much rather talk for an hour than to have to perfectly memorize something. it's terrible. I did it 2 years in a row, and now I've sworn I won't do it again. But the topic I really enjoyed sharing because it was so personal to me. And I mean, I think the very first line of it is, I didn't think my voice mattered. And, you know, and I think that's an important story to tell, not only to teachers, but to students, because like what you were talking about, you're modeling for your students. And that means so much that they can see how you're connecting and learning. And, you know, in the scheme of things, I am nobody. Yeah, some teachers might know who I am, but, you know, you can connect with authors and celebrities and experts, and the field is just so wide open now that it's not that hard to find and connect with people, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I talked to him or I met him online. And it's just such an interesting time, and to show that to our students is just such a powerful thing.
What you said, I didn't think my voice mattered. Wow. As soon as you said that, it brought me right to conversations I've had with people recently about blogging. And the first thing that they say is, well, who's going to care about what I have to say? And my response has been, like, my response has always been, if it's a way for you to reflect on your practice and maybe help you improve your teaching or to help you become more aware of something that you can do to help your students or to help your colleagues, then go for it. Because that's how I started as a blogger. I wanted to document my learning. I wanted to document my experiences with some ed tech that I was going to be integrating into the classroom. And my blog has not exploded or anything, but it's been around now for 5 years. So I have 5 years worth of reflections. I have 5 years worth of metrics about my growth, mm-hmm. about the things that I felt were difficult, about the things that I really enjoyed. And so now when somebody talks to me about a particular concept or something, I can always just say, hey, I wrote a blog post about that. You should check that out. And then talk to me some more about what you read and what you think of it. And so I didn't think my voice mattered. Wow. That is powerful. It to hear you say that is like, it's amazing, because so many people are going to hear it and they're going to think the same thing. They already think that their voice doesn't matter. And I think in this day and age with the internet and with social media, like, you can express yourself at any time from any place. You just have to do it. You got to take that first step. And I always tell people that I meet that I'm so happy that they took the risk and they expressed their voice on social media or on a blog, because I've benefited from it. And if they hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have got to learn from them in the way that I may have. So the other thing too, you'd rather talk for an hour than do an Ignite.
Yes. I'd much rather do a keynote than an Ignite. That's for sure. I don't know if you've ever done one, but it's just such a exact thing, and especially the way they do it at ISTE, because some people will let you sort of have a little more control, but I had zero control over my slides, and in some cases couldn't always see the slides as they were progressing, so I was sort of just hoping that mm-hmm. I was still on time. But yeah, it was pretty terrifying, and you know, to be in one of those big ballrooms doing that type of speech. But yeah, I think the power of sharing your voice is something that our students definitely need to understand, and to understand that it's not just the sharing that they're used to. You know, it's not just the Snapchats and the mundane things that they share about their day, but yeah, using it as a reflective tool. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a blog. It could be a podcast. I mean, everything that both of us have done on our blogs, we could have been just talking about on a podcast, or, you know, there's so many different mediums to choose from. I think it's really just a matter of what fits your personality and what fits your particular passions and things like that. My very first blog post was titled "A Perfectionist with Paralysis." And that was just me. I was just stuck. Like, I was really caught up of, what are they going to say? People are going to think that I think I'm somebody just because I started this blog, and which is really ridiculous. But, you know, because everybody has a blog now, but it was something like, I was like, oh, it has to be perfect. I have to have, you know, it has to look like a well-established website before I even begin. And that's not going to happen. So, I think the bottom line, and that's what I tell teachers, is just to write, just to get the mm-hmm. information out. Like, worry about the other stuff later. That can be changed. But, you know, using it as that reflective tool. And for me, like you said, like, it's a reference. Like, I find myself, I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote a blog post on how to do that. Yeah, here, I'll just give you this link instead of having to explain every step. You've got it all right there. And, you know, so it's great to have that, to see that sort of building up.
Mm-hmm. And I personally benefited from, I don't know, you probably don't remember because you get so many requests a day or people kind of just picking your brain. But I remember two or three times where I connected with you via Twitter and said, hey, Casey, I wonder if you could help me with this. And you've always referred me to a post that you've written. And then I just go to your post, I read it, I figure it out, and I move on. So, I mean, I've done that too. It's really kind of cool. And I just find, for me, I never considered myself a writer. And so for me, it's not about the writing per se. It's about the reflection. It's about getting my ideas out of my head. Mm-hmm. and yeah, process out. So it's just really cool because I've read some blogs that are amazing, like literary accomplishments. Mine are more just like, here's the process I followed in this situation. This is what my kids did. This is what I did. This is what I'm going to do next. And so it's just getting that out. So I think there's many different reasons to have them. And you're right. Like they're everywhere now, right? It's so common, but it's such a cool tool to have. And it's such a great way to kind of look back on the things you've done. I want to talk a little bit about the cartoon, your little Casey Bell cartoon. And I know you're probably thinking like, why? But for me, that when I think of you, I think of that. I don't even know how to describe her. She's got like a ponytail and like this bright blonde hair and the white teeth. So tell me, how did that come to be? Did somebody create that for you and say, here, check this out? Or did you go out and did you think I could use something like this? So tell me how that came to be.
I wish I could take credit for creating her. By the way, I call her Judy, as in Judy Jetson, because that is exactly the look that I think she has and that I was going for. But when I was designing my website and my blog, I really kind of liked that flair to it, you know, that sort of 60s Judy Jetson kind of thing. But I just started digging through some clip art that was for sale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stock photography. And I was just looking for inspiration. And I stumbled upon this and I was like, wow, that's exactly what I want. And so I can't claim that I had it made or anything like that. I think she does look a little bit like me. I know we haven't met in person. I do prefer the avatar version of myself to pictures, which is why my branding has worked so well, because I do stick her little face on everything. But, you know, that's, I also didn't want my blog to be about me, which was sort of the process in the naming. I didn't want it to be caseybell.com, which I do own that domain just because I might want to use it someday. But really, when I started blogging, I wanted it to be about the learning. And so that was sort of my brainstorming process. I was like, I want a site. I don't want this to be just me. I want this to be about ways to use and to shake things up in the classroom. And so that was really sort of how it all evolved.
Very cool. I will make sure to put that picture in the blog post. And well, because I will have a picture of what you really look like, the real Casey Bell, but then I'll have the Jetson 60s version, which is really cool in my opinion. The blog is rchidspodcast.blogspot.ca. But anyway, so if anybody's listening and you pull up your mobile device or whatever, go check it out. It'll be there. Okay, big question for you, Casey. What generally motivates you?
You know, I am motivated by learning myself. I love to learn. I'm passionate about figuring things out and tinkering, and I think that's why technology was such a good fit for me, because I like to figure things out like that, and it's always sort of driven me. But I love it when I come across something that I think is really just going to change things in the classroom. That's, you know, whether that's just making a teacher's life easier or completely transforming what we do and how we teach and how we facilitate the learning in the classroom. And I think that technology is just fun. I am a bit of a geek. You know, I love gadgets, and I get a little geeked out about, you know, whatever new announcements are coming out and things like that. So I do sort of get distracted sometimes by my own learning, but I think that's why I love my job so much, because I have to learn every single day just to attempt to keep up, which is almost impossible these days. But I think that technology offers new and engaging ways to do things, and I think that it's changing the landscape of the economy. And I think it's really important that teachers and administrators understand that what we're preparing kids for is a world that is going to look very, very different. And, you know, the jobs, you know, we always talk about the jobs that don't exist yet sort of idea, but I think it goes even further than that, because I actually did a presentation a few weeks ago on the rise of the entrepreneur and, you know, doing things like what I'm doing. And, you know, and there are kids who are entrepreneurs before they even leave our school, and, you know, the types of skills that you need to be an entrepreneur and how easy it is now to jump into this world. You don't need venture capital. You don't need a lot of startup funding to do things on your own now. So, the economy that we're moving into is a very different, almost like Wild West kind of situation, I think. And the skills that our students need, whether that has anything to do with technology or not, it's going to be very, very different than I think what most schools are teaching right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but that word entrepreneur, it used to scare me big time. And I remember back in high school and university, which for me was I was finished university in the late 90s, early 2000s. But I remember back then being an entrepreneur or calling yourself an entrepreneur was like a huge risk. People would look at you funny and be like, oh, you can't make it in university or college, so you're just going to call yourself an entrepreneur. That's how I kind of remember it. But in today's time, which is ever changing, like with each passing week, I'm almost envious of entrepreneurs, people who have ideas and they want to chase their ideas, and they're going to go out and they're going to do it no matter what, and doesn't necessarily have any kind of any route to or path to lead to that success. You just have to go out, believe in yourself, leverage the tools, leverage your strengths and your skills, and go with it. So it's really neat for me to reflect on that word as you talk about it and how times have changed. I know that just yesterday I was putting my youngest to bed, and we always read a book each night, and then we have like a 5-10 minute just talk. He just talks about whatever, and he was talking to me about working when he becomes an adult. And I said, well, do you have any ideas? Like, what are you thinking about these days? And the first thing he said was he wanted to be an NHL hockey player. So we talked a little bit about that. And then I kind of introduced the concept of probability, and not to crush his dreams, but to be like, well, you should have a backup plan. And so anyway, he said, my 6-year-old said to me, because he's heard me say this before, Dad, maybe I don't know what I want to be because what I want to be doesn't exist yet.
Oh.
And I was like, I know. I was like, wow, he's 6, you know? And maybe that's there's amazing. People out, maybe there are people out there who are thinking, yeah, Roland, you're crazy. My kid said that when he was 4, but my son is 6. He's in grade 1. And he told me last night, he said, the job I want, I might not know. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything because what if in 5 years this kind of gets created and then, I can do that. Like, he even said to me, Dad, can you tell me about some jobs that didn't exist when you were younger? And mm-hmm. I rhymed off 2 or 3 things and said, these are things that are happening now that didn't exist when I was your age, didn't exist when I was, you know, 20. So it was just cool to hear him say that. And to, I hope that as he grows and he develops, he keeps that open mind and he stays open to the possibility that anything can come to be. It was just really cool. So I'm changing. Like, when I grew up, and I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my parents always said to me, like, you're going to university, you're going to study something, and you're going to get a job. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to my kids. Like, I want them to grow up, and I want them to do something that they can have a life doing it, but they can also enjoy themselves. So
right.
It's scary, but it's also kind of neat to hear them talk like that.
Yeah, it's also very interesting because, you know, we grew up in a time where people, like you said, you went to school to get a certain job and to keep that job for 30 years and then retire. And that is an industrial age idea. And that is something that is going to look very different for our children. You know, that's that's not really, that kind of job security doesn't really exist anymore. First of all, there's not a lot of jobs that aren't changing. So it, you know, it's kind of scary, but it's also kind of awesome because most of us don't want to stay in the same place for 30 years anymore. You know, new things happen and you want to try, and maybe you want to be an entrepreneur, and then maybe you want to go work for somebody else. And I think there's just some really amazing options that will be there for the future.
For sure. I wanted to ask you about the podcast. How did that come to be? Because I would love to hear the backstory, because I remember reading about you and Matt Miller kind of tweeting about the Google Teacher Tribe podcast. But I'd love to hear the backstory of, you know, did you connect with Matt? Did he connect with you? Did somebody put you two together and say you guys should do a podcast? I'd love to hear about how it came to be.
So Matt and I have known each other since we were in the Google Teacher Academy together, which was, I think, in December of 2014. And so we met there immediately, you know, connected, and we were on very similar types of paths, I think, you know, with our blogs and things like that. And so, you know, we definitely kept in touch. We have collaborated on things back and forth. Of course, we've crossed paths a few times, and, you know, we both talked about, you know, sort of our goals and things like that. And we had discussed individually starting our own podcasts. And, you know, that was something I was very interested in. I just couldn't imagine, one, trying to add one more thing to my plate. So I already feel like I have like 12 jobs, and, you know, trying to keep up with everything, I have to eventually say no to something. And I was like, there's just no way I can do it on my own, especially, you know, given, you know, another website and maintenance and all the technical stuff. And I love learning all of that, but there's just a limit to how many hours that are in the day. And so Matt kind of felt the same way. He's like, yeah, I really want to do it too, but I just don't know. And I said, well, what if we have a producer? What if we have someone who just takes care of the editing and the website and the technical side of things, and all we have to do is record? And so we obviously both have a lot of interest on our blog when it comes to Google. So that was a hot topic, and we didn't really think that there were a lot of consistent podcasts out there sharing things about using Google in education. So we went from there, and we talked to, I don't know if you already know this, but Chris Nessie, who is the House of EdTech podcaster, he is our producer.
Oh, so, okay.
So Chris, we just, you know, we record and we send all of our files over to Chris, and he makes us sound good, and he puts it all together and works his magic. And, you know, we just really respected what he did as a podcaster, and we knew he knew his stuff, and he was very open to the idea. So there really is a sort of a third person on our team that is in the background and taking care of us. And I'm sure you know how much additional time can go into all of that. So, you know, that's really how we're making it work. And between our schedules, you know, both of us traveling so much, and Matt was leaving for a couple of weeks. So, you know, we have days where we need to record a couple of episodes at once. And so it's still a work in progress, and we're still trying to figure out the best way to sort of make it work for us. The idea of doing something weekly was a little daunting to make sure that could keep it up. So, you know, we just released the 10th episode today. So we kind of feel like we hit a milestone. All right, we did it. We've done 10 weeks in a row, and, you know, everybody seems to like it. Things are going well. So hopefully, you know, we can still keep up the content and continue to grow the audience. So, but we're having a lot of fun. We're, you know, I think we get along very well, and like we have very similar types of audiences from our blogs that I think we're sort of bringing into the podcast realm, which is interesting because I've found a lot of people still don't know what a podcast is. I don't know if you've run into that, but, you know, sort of like oh, it's sort of like a radio show that you can listen to whenever you want. And, you know, so I think it's sort of introducing people to podcasting as well.
I think it's really awesome that this kind of came from the teacher academy that you attended in December 2014. And if I can make a connection, my podcast started from a connection that I made at my Google Teacher Academy as well. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian Briggs, but he has a podcast. Yeah, check this out. Him and Ryan. Oh, Ryan's last name is escaping me. O'Donnell, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, they're going to kill me if I got it wrong, but it escapes me. But it was Briggs. Yeah, right. That's one of the rules of my podcast. I try to keep my mistakes in the podcast so that people know that I'm human. But anyway, long story short, it was Briggsy that I went to in the summer and I said, dude, this is what I want to do. And you've been doing it for a while and I really respect your process. I respect the things you're about. So can you help me? And as you know, I'm sure you found this as well. People who have gone to the academy just connect to each other and help each other out. It's the teacher tribe, right? So he helped me out and here I am today. So it's really kind of cool that your idea came from that. And how amazing was your academy experience?
Yeah, I think that it is very interesting. It's like a family, you know, like everybody asks like, oh, what, you know, what did you learn and what did you do? And I'm like, yeah, we learned some great things, but that really was not the most valuable thing that we walked away with. It was the people and the connections and coming together. So which GTA were you in?
July, beginning of August, 2014 in Mountain View. So I was just before you.
Yes. So we were right at the end. We were the very last one that was still under the Google Teacher Academy umbrella.
Right.
And yeah, no, it was great. Ours, you know, mine was in Austin. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was sort of local for me and getting to do that. But there were people from, you know, all over the world there and people that you had connected with online, you know, people I'd had conversations with for years. That I finally got to meet in person, you know, it was like hugging old friends that you really had never seen before, but it was such a neat experience. Of course, being at Google is just sort of extraordinary in itself. And of course you got to be on the home campus. So mm-hmm. that had to be pretty amazing. So, but yeah,
it was good times.
I totally agree. And I think so many amazing things have come out of the teacher academies or what are now the innovator academies. And I think they're doing a much better job now with these innovator projects mm-hmm. so that they're trying to get people to share that. And actually Matt and I submitted our podcast as our innovator project.
Very
so
cool.
We have added it to that site as sort of, you know, because it is sort of meeting all of those goals. And of course the projects have sort of evolved over the years, but it is. And it, you know, people kind of think, oh, well, you're bragging, you're a certified innovator. Like, well, we worked pretty hard to get that too. So, you know, at the same time, it is sort of like a badge of honor as well. And it's like being part of this really cool family.
Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, the relationships that have come from it have been like the things I learned there and the activities I participated in were a lot of fun and very eye-opening for me. But the relationships, like we still have, you know, a Google Hangout group and mm-hmm. I check it every day and somebody's constantly, talking about something or we're helping each other out. And then there's Voxer groups. Like it's always there. And, nothing makes me happier than to get a text message or a tweet from someone from my cohort saying, hey, you know, I know that you've done work here. Can you help me out with this? And I'm more than happy to help. And they've always been the same with me. So it's just really amazing to have been part of a group of people who experienced that and who get it. You know, we're all kind of like lone wolves in a way. So mm-hmm. It's kind of neat too. But anyway, we should move on from the GTA because now all our listeners are like, what are they talking about? I want to hit the final thing that I'd like to talk to you about before I let you go, because you've been very generous with your time, is what would you say to people who might seek you out for advice around getting motivated or getting inspired? It's kind of a big question. You can take it in any direction you want to go. But, you know, if people come to you or if people seek you out saying, like, I really need help. I'm not feeling it here. I don't know what I'm doing. What might you say to them to help them get going?
Well, it probably depends on the situation, obviously, and sort of the person and the level that we're working with. But a lot of times it is experiences. Perfect segue, by the way. You know, like the Google Innovator Academy, or just getting Google certified for me was a big motivation. I think that connecting with people in the way that sort of brought me, you know, to a different group of people to connect with also inspired me. It's like, who are these people? What are they doing? Oh, that's really cool. Why can't I do that? And how are they doing these things? So I think the power of connecting, the power of sharing your voice that we talked about earlier. But even, you know, some of the people who are just afraid and don't even know where to start, working towards a Google certified educator level one is a really good spark, I think, because it just opens a lot of doors in terms of figuring out how tools can change the way you do things in the classroom and sort of make that light bulb go off. Oh, I get it. Like, I see where you're going with this. This is a game changer. This isn't just making a worksheet digital. This is doing things differently. And this is something that's powerful. So I think technology has a lot of power to bring people together in new ways, to bring collaborations together. I know that my career path would not be where it is if I hadn't connected with people, if I hadn't started the blog, if I hadn't worked towards getting, you know, these Google certifications and trying to learn. I just really wanted to learn. And so I think the teachers that go to ed camps are like my best mm-hmm. friends. Let me tell you that. I am a huge ed camp proponent. I always say anybody who's willing to give up a Saturday to go learn, I want to be with. And so mm-hmm. that's, you know, and I realize it's hard and not everybody can make it on a Saturday, but I think that just sort of shows the attitude that you don't always see in every educator, that, you know, they really want to do this. They want to learn. And I think there's a big difference between when I'm called out to do professional development in a choose your own type of setting versus mm-hmm. no, you're going to sit through her 6-hour workshop and you have to do this sort of thing. So I think that voice and choice thing makes a big difference in the attitude that teachers have and the mindset that they have when it comes to anything.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. In fact, when you talked about Google certifications, it reminded me to make sure that I said while speaking to you that you have created a free ebook around Google certifications and explaining them. Does that guide also like offer hints and tips on what to do or what to look for in terms of getting those certifications?
So that ebook is really more about explaining the difference between, I explained 5 different certifications in there. So as you and I are talking, like, we may have already confused some people who are like, what's GTA? What's Innovator? What are all these words? What do they mean? And so I'll just say, so we've got Google Certified Educator level 1 and 2 for that are there. You've got Google Certified Trainer for people who train others. You've got Google Certified Innovator, which is what we were talking about. And then there's also a Google Certified Administrator, and that's really on the domain, the sort of back end of things. But there are some educators who sort of want to go that route. So the ebook just really kind of breaks that down. It's like, oh, is there a test? How much does it cost? How do you prepare for it? All of that. Now, in terms of like tips and tricks, I have some resources on the blog for that, as well as some that are still in the works. I do have an online course to help those who want to become Google certified trainers. Mm-hmm. So you can go to my website and there's a link right at the top about certifications. And so if you're interested in becoming a trainer, or if you're interested in becoming a Google certified educator, That's coming soon. I'm working on two new e-courses for level one and level two, because sometimes people just really want the hand holding. They're like, I need somebody to walk me through this because I'm never going to get it done if I just go through the course that Google provides on my own. So it's sort of become a mission of mine over the past couple years to help other teachers reach these Google certifications, because I feel like it made such a big difference in my career and in the things that I know how to do. So I just want to sort of spread the love and help people reach their goals.
Awesome. So thank you for making those distinctions, because you're right. I guess we could have confused people. But you know what? Now they'll go to your site and they'll look for information to help them figure it out. So by confusing them a little bit, we can send some traffic your way. And that's always a good thing, because once they see what you've got at your site, they're bound to bookmark it and visit it again. Have you ever been to Canada?
I have not. It is on my to-do list, but I have not been there.
We're going to have to get you up here for a keynote or something for sure. I'm surprised that you've not made it up here.
I know. It hasn't worked out yet, but I would love to see Canada. What part of Canada are you in?
I'm in Waterloo, so it's about an hour away from Toronto. I'm sure you're familiar with Toronto.
Okay, yes. So no, but I want to see it. Yes, I definitely would love to come visit and to meet you in person for sure.
Oh, that'd be cool. I've got this running list of people I'd love to meet face to face. So hopefully that could happen sometime. Or who knows, maybe I could end up in Dallas. That'd be kind of cool.
Yes, yes. Are you coming to ISTE?
No.
That's no. Okay. It'll be really hot. Let me just warn you.
I've heard.
San Antonio.
Are you a fan of baseball?
No.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to know, because I've heard at Texas Rangers games that they have to play in the evening because it's so hot in the day. So I just wanted to get a feel for if you've ever experienced that or not. But it's okay. I you said no in such like a like I could tell you dropped with your enthusiasm and stuff. It's not a big deal. I just wanted to know.
Sure. Going with that. No, I'm not really a baseball fan, but it definitely gets hot down here. And that's the only thing about having ISTE in my home state is like, oh, it's really hot in June. So
you know what, Casey, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. I'm glad that you could find some time to spend with me and to share your story, the path that you've taken, the work that you're doing, what motivates you, and kind of your ideas about what you could do to help people become motivated in certain situations. So I really appreciate your time. If people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
So my website, shakeuplearning.com, I'm pretty much shakeuplearning is my handle on almost every social media platform. So shakeuplearning on Twitter. And you can email me, Casey, Casey, at shakeuplearning.com. I try my best to answer as many questions as I can that I get. So if there's any way that I can ever help, or if you have ideas that you want to share with me, I would love to hear from your listeners.
Awesome. Thanks, Casey. And enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for having me.